Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Fully Geek Ladies.
Fully
Geek. We've got we nearly at 20 episodes, guys. We've done well.
I know. Season one done for us.
Yeah. So we have your girls Sharifa, Teresa, and Paulina. So this week we are going to be discussing Lara on the Beat on Netflix, which is an Hollywood film.
Lara on the and beat, then, la la Lara on the beat, la 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 la.
Is
la,
it Laura or Lara?
I can Lara. Say Laura. Her name is Lara.
Oh, but it's spelled Laura for the English people. And then we've got we're going to be discussing Power and Lovecraft. Our resident show, Lovecraft Country. So I'm going to take it over to Teresa.
Hey, hey guys. Welcome back to another episode. As Prophet P has said, let's start off with our resident show, Lovecraft Country. You know, I nearly said it again, but this week I came correct. LCC. This week we have more of the same, whereby the episodes are completely different. They tell a different story. However, we witness Aunt and Hippolyta in all her glory. Hippolyta in all her glory. We literally find out what we've kind of predicted all along, and we just delve into what I personally feel is about owning yourself, being a woman, and discovering yourself. So I guess Paulina, do you want to take away first of all and what you found about what you thought about this week's episode titled I Am?
I really enjoyed this episode again. I just thought it was really good. I liked, obviously it was very random when so the beginning of the episode is when I guess Tick has finally acknowledged that his dad's gay because he caught him with the guy, and then the dad's like defending himself, and he kind of explained the history of the story, because obviously the dad's been abusive to him because of the fact that he's gay and he doesn't have to deal with it. So that's why they've got such a like tarnished, difficult relationship. So I guess that's one element of it. And then we go into the fact that Tick and I had her name and I've lost it. What's his girlfriend's name again?
Letitia.
Yeah, the fact that him and Letitia are having the same dream, that means something, but they're not quite sure. Well, they figured it out. It's like the books, that she's got the book of names. And they need to try and find it. And then obviously we fast forward to Hippolyta's part. I found that bit so random when she was like got through to the realm, I guess, and it ended up in like a prison. And then they're like, it's not a prison. But what was that Afro robotic?
She's just part of another universe. Wow. But I got it instantly. Instantly when she said you're not in a prison, I kind of knew from what we've been discussing from previous episodes, but you know, she's gonna realize how to use the
power,
time machine, whatever. She just needs to discover, find herself and discover literally how to use it. So when that lady kept on saying to her, you're not in a prison,
who are you?
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is blatantly that she needs to literally figure out what she needs to do to get there, because she can leave at any time she likes, but she just doesn't know how to leave.
But I just feel like, where does that fit into the whole show?
It's so important.
I keep saying it's random, but I don't think they're random. You need to remember each episode is kind of developing and telling a story of each character. If you think about it, last week was Ruby and Monroe. The week before was more about Tick. And this episode is about Hippolyta. So I feel like it does seem random, but it's actually not, because they're totally different
people. It's all linked. Yeah. It's all one story, isn't it?
Different people coming from totally different personalities. That's why it feels like it's random. And I feel like it's exploring what magic means or what magic can do to each person, if that makes sense. So it's exploring, whereas with Hippolyta, as we discover in that, in this episode, she was just saying she's always had to make herself feel small.
Exactly.
So she needed to fit into different lifetimes and different characters for her to really find out who she was. And as she ended with, I am George's wife. And then after I am George's wife, it was just, I am Hippolyta, I'm me.
Did she disappear after that?
No, she's gone back
home. She said, I am the discoverer. So she then went and discovered what she needed to discover as being his wife, but understanding that she's not just his wife. Yeah. And then the goddess was like, okay, now you've unlocked who you are. You can stay here and do whatever you want to do.
That's
and
what I'm saying. Like, did she stay?
No, she
said that she needs to be a mum. She needs to be Hippolyta, but she needs to go back to be her daughter. And
so why didn't she go back to where Tick was then?
I feel like she's gone back home, directly home.
Yeah, she's gone
back where she said she was.
So she left him.
Yeah. Right, so every time she says, I am,
she goes somewhere else.
Something. I am Hippolyta, the dancer on stage. She goes there, but she said that she wants to be at home with her mum, with her daughter. Sorry, carry on. And I think that is so poignant because, and I guess we kind of, I'm skipping, should I say, because we don't know where Tick went, and I'm sure we're going to find out where he went. But when he came back to where the machine was, he took everything bar the comic.
Mm.
And obviously, they're going to find that and use that as evidence. And then she's going to have to be, Hippolyta is going to have to be this strong warrior. She's going to have to be this person with a voice because she's going to have to protect her daughter.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that aspect. I enjoyed that they showed her in different lights, especially being the Benin warrior. They called them.
I say her accent was awful.
Mo woman. I don't even think she tried to make an accent.
Not Hippolyta. The warrior she was fighting.
You think?
I'm so confused. Yeah, it was like American, African. Not sure.
Really? I never got any American.
Did you not?
I got no.
I did.
I got that she was just trying so hard to be from there. But
it's so hard that she was trying to be African that it was a little bit of a miss for me. Tiny bit of a miss. It was good.
The Dahomey Amazon, that's it. The Mino women, which means our mothers. I really like that bit. I think that was my favorite out of all her discovery.
Really?
I did like her and
George.
No. I liked her and George's bit, but we saw that coming really. Well, I saw that coming. And
yeah,
I
knew that it would be a
kind of let me have my closure reminisce that I needed to have with my husband. Yeah, but I think in terms of discovery, her being different characters, I was just busting up when she was
she started on stage. She was like
I was laughing.
Because that is me. That would happen to me and I'm like, I'm so awkward.
Well, I love that bit. I think that was the beginning of her realizing, wow, the life I was living before wasn't 100% me. And I really enjoyed that bit. I did. But who saw Letitia becoming pregnant? Because I know I did.
Well, I didn't use any protection ever. Did you ever see them at one point?
Because don't you remember I said in a couple of episodes, I said she's a virgin. They didn't use anything. She bled. I was just like,
I don't remember that.
But I thought so, and I feel like something's going to be very...
The baby's like going to be like a superpower.
No, I feel the pregnancy is going to be faster than usual.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, next episode, she's going to be like 6 months.
7 months.
Yeah, it's going to be quite fast. But that's...
But why do you think they have the same dream, though?
Because she's now linked. That baby is now... is now going to be... If it's a boy, he's now going to be the last son. Remember, it's always the last son, so he's going to be the last son. That's why... She dreamt that, and that's why the baby was on fire, because they remember the fire started from her stomach. Whereas when it was Tick, it started from him. He started burning up. So there's something linked with him and that
she's
baby.
She's got the bloodline in her. She's got the seed in her.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. But I think I forgot her name, the Korean lady is going to come. I feel like she's going to come.
What's her name?
Yeah, because she said he's going to die, isn't he?
She's going to try all her hardest to try and save him. So I feel like she's going to just turn up and he's going to be like, oh.
I think at some point towards the end of season one, if there is going to be another season two, all the characters are all going to meet somehow to fight. There's going to be this some sort of epic battle, I think. Not like Game of Thrones epic battle, but there's going to be some sort of battle between good and evil, between magic, good magic and bad magic, and people are going to have to do some. So as Sharif has said, the Korean lady is definitely going to come back, I think. I don't know how, but I kind of feel like Hippolyta is going to conjure George back, or she's going to go back in time to just find out information George is going to give her information that she needs to do, whatever she needs to do to help. And as I continuously say, I do believe that those characters are going to come to life.
You still are holding on. I think Hippolyta has the power to now travel without the machine. Yeah. I feel like she's transcended now, so she has that power hidden somewhere where she can just travel.
I don't know whether she can. Maybe, you might be right, but I don't think she... I personally don't think she knows how to travel. I think she knows how to now use her mind, and she knows how to manipulate situations.
You think?
So, yeah.
This is just a new discovery, isn't it? So she's not.
No, the reason why I'm holding on to that is because I feel like that room she was in, or wherever she was a test. Tick wasn't there. I feel like you go through the portal, there's different places you end up, and she just happened to end up in this world where you get to transcend if you find yourself somehow. So I just believe that there's something in her that's going to allow her not just to click her fingers and travel.
But it's because she found the machine that she was able to do that. So I don't think...
Yeah, but Tick also traveled as well. Remember,
he held on to her.
Yeah, and he was stuck somewhere in time. He never went to where she went to. So that's what I'm trying to say, that she ended up in one of the... Because if you look at the solar system, there's different worlds.
Mm-hmm,
and I feel like she just ended up on that world where it might have helped her transcend into something, whereas Tick was held somewhere else. Or it could be just that Tick couldn't get safe passage because of his powers or his bloodline. I have no clue, but I think something's going to come off this.
What do you think?
I kind of think that because she was stuck in the white room, if you analyze her behavior, you from the surface you probably think to yourself, oh, she's going mad because she started talking, she's like, oh,
she's
calculating
everything.
But that's how her mind works. She started realizing that if she uses her brain,
she can
discover things. Calculate. She can make things work,
mm-hmm.
or she can do things to enable to have a solution, do you know, to solve a puzzle or something. So I think she's now realized that that's what she can do with her brain. Not that it's supernatural or anything like that, but I think that she's going to be able to look at situations. So your theory is that she can be able to travel into back in time by herself. My theory is that she's now going to be able to look at situations, see the bigger picture, and manipulate the situation so it works in her favor. And it's not by magic. It's just by actually he thinks this. She's just going to be an investigator, but she's going to be a very good one. Who knows? She might be able to travel back in time because she still has the key and that machine.
Yeah, she still has those things.
But they said you can take it out.
They said you can take it out and transcend if you want to. Or so if you take it out, you're gonna become a spirit woman with probably an afro as well. But we don't know if she's still got it or she's taking it out.
Yeah, exactly. So if she comes back home, then she still has it, then maybe she can time travel. If she doesn't have it, then who knows? But maybe you never know. It might be in her. We're all speculating, but these are our theories. And
can we, you know, what's his name? I remember when I said, I think it was last episode or the other episode where you asked, I forgot her name, the white lady.
William. I was about to
Christina.
Ask
Christina.
Yeah, you remember when you were asking what is her interior, what's her motive, and you think it was...
I was going to ask.
I told you that. I was like, I don't think it's that. I think it's...
Yeah, what do you think is going on between them? Do you think they're now like a couple? Because when she went
Christina
back...
Christina and Ruby.
Ruby. Yeah, because when Ruby went back to her sister, they were talking about something and then they've not said anything in between, like between Ruby and Christina. I feel like there's a plot somewhere there where now Ruby's been sent. Because remember Ruby went in to eavesdrop on her Tick and... what's this girl's name again?
Letitia Lewis.
That's it. I keep forgetting. Do you remember when Ruby was eavesdropping on their conversations? I feel like she's gone to spy on the sister because obviously Christina's tried to work with them, like try to get them on side or whatever. And they've not really receptive. They don't want to work with Christina. So she's used Ruby to get in. So now I think Ruby's has been told some stuff and is now she's gonna be that the spy.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I think that's what's gonna happen there.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, good. But I feel like they're gonna be like a lesbian-ish couple.
Nah. I think Ruby we never know.
In William's body, but she knows it's not William, it's her. So technically. In a weird way, yeah.
Maybe. But I think that this is all going to turn around, isn't it? I don't think Ruby's is going to be 110% working for this woman. She's going to find things out. Her sister's going to tell her more than
But she feels funny though, doesn't she?
Who feels funny?
Ruby, because she thinks her mum gave her the money for the house. So there's going to be part element of like resentment towards that as well, which is probably why she's working with her for a bit.
But they both, this is what I'm saying, they both think that the mum gave them the money.
No, Letitia knows the mum didn't.
Letitia knows, but even still, I don't see
why. She didn't tell Ruby though.
She didn't tell Ruby.
But I'm sure Christine might have, because we don't know what the discussion was, because she just said, I want to know everything.
Yeah, but I don't think that would be
the house or fly.
I don't think Christina.
I don't
told
think she'd say that.
Ruby, yeah. That oh, I was the one that bought the house, because then
Letitia knows. She knows Letitia knows about magic. That's what she said to her. Is there anything you want to tell me?
But this is the thing.
When Letitia was saying stuff, she goes, "Oh, wouldn't I know?" That's what she said. So Ruby knows Letitia and Tick. She knows all about it.
I don't think she does.
I think she knows stuff.
But why is she spying on them?
She's got into detail with it. I think
she's spying on them because obviously she needs.
She's working with Christina.
I think she's working with Christina. She already knows that the world that they are in is deep anyway, because she's already been involved in that world. Then she's seen her sister acted funny, and her sister's got this house and all these things are happening. So she's thinking, wild one with my sister. It's only now that you've come back. The sister walked out of the room abruptly because she's pregnant. Ruby didn't find out, so she's probably gone to check on her sister. Then she's heard her sister on the phone, so it could be speculated, it's so obvious that she told her because she asked her
tell me everything. She's looking all my kids.
So why would she say I bought her the house?
Not just about the house. I'm saying she's probably told her what Tick, in whatever way she told her, she's told them that Tick and Letitia. She said it involves your family. So I don't understand what you mean by
she didn't tell her.
She probably did tell her. What happened generally. Maybe not as much detail, but she's probably told her.
The point. I think she told her about the book of names. Yeah, Book of Names. She definitely probably told her about the Book of Names. She probably told her what she needs the Book of Names for. She probably even said that, like you said, involves the sister and Tick, and this is what she needs. And she's probably blackwashed. She probably brainwashed Ruby to a degree. So, yes, Ruby is probably working with her to try and get information. However, I do not believe that Christina told Ruby that she was the one that bought the house.
That's what I'm saying. I said she may have or she may not have, but she's told her what Letitia's role is.
Yeah, and I think we're all in agreement then. I think the wires were crossed when we were saying, Nana, I don't think so.
That's what I'm trying to say.
What Paulina and I were saying is that she hasn't told her about the house, but everything that you were saying, we are all in agreement. Like, we're all in agreement. Fully Geek Ladies are in agreement, guys. So we'll wait till the next episode to find out Wagwan. It's gripping. I from first episode till now.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I really wasn't watching it at the beginning. I was like, oh, Lovecraft. Oh, this is gonna sound dry. Then I was watching. I was like, huh? This is so random. Good. I love it.
It's good. I don't know. It's still for me. It's one of those things. Like, I watched this episode with my husband, and he didn't seem to feel phased. Like, he didn't feel like he needed to know what was going on, like, from previous episodes. He was just like, okay, so this lady's going to travel back in time and they're looking for something.
Has he watched it from the beginning?
No, he hasn't. He's not interested in watching it. It was on. And then he just watched this episode and he was just like, oh, okay. Like, I kind of feel it's that show. I kind of feel like if you're just watching it, you don't need to pay so much attention to the intricate details. You can just watch it.
You do though.
That's what I'm saying. If you're not interested, if you're just watching it, it's not like it's on and you're just cooking jollof. You don't necessarily need to pay much attention because it's a story. That episode, last episode, was a story. It was a story about a woman that went into a time machine and she went into these different worlds and now she wants to go back home. On a high level synopsis, that's what that story was about. You can take the backstory away from it and you can just enjoy that episode. And I think each episode is like that. You can if you take the backstory away, you're just watching an episode of something, or you're just watching a new show. So yeah, we'll see what the next episode entails.
Yeah, I just really appreciate that you don't know what's coming. That's what I like. I like a show that doesn't tell me what's going on. even though you can predict some certain aspects of it to a point, you don't know what's coming next episode, and I really appreciate that.
Cool. So, guys, yeah. Yes, stay tuned next week for more of an analysis of our resident show.
How many episodes? Because I'm sad. It's coming to an end soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually.
Oh.
But we'll find out. I guess, I'm sure it's about 10. I think it's about 10, but that's something that we Fully Geek ladies should know. Anyway, next we're going to talk about, we decided that we've got two series to talk about. So we were going to watch a movie, and we decided to have something that was a bit lighthearted, a bit fun, nothing too serious. So we went back to our roots. Well, went back to Sharifa's roots,
darling.
Went back to Sharifa's roots, and we watched a Nollywood movie, which is a Netflix original called Lara and the Beat. It is literally a riches to rags story about two sisters who are on top of the verge of losing their media company, their family's media company, and it just follows them in their quest to try and save it. It stars, and Sharifa, you're going to have to help me out with some of these names. Somleke Iyama, she's a beautiful actress and a model. She was in The Wedding Party, and she was in 93 Days. And these are all for the Nollywood connoisseur. So if you haven't seen any of these movies, you don't know any of these people, you check them out. It also stars Chioma Chukwuma. She was on Why Was On Strike. It stars this lovely comedian. He's called Chinenye, is it Ekidizi? He's from Boys from Holland and Stubborn Files. He is, if you've ever watched some skits, he's like a short Nigerian man, and he also acts with another short Nigerian man, and they're quite funny.
Look like children.
They look like children, yeah, yeah. But they are so funny.
Fully grown, happy and purple.
Yeah, and then it also stars Shay Shay. Her real name's Deborah Joshua, but she was born in Tottenham, guys. She is actually British born girl, and she's more of a singer than an actress. She has 5 albums, and Lara and the Beat was actually her first movie. And then the love interest is called Vector. He's a Nigerian actor, and he also stars. So yeah, Sharifa, take it away. Your peoples, what did you think?
Just because they're Nigerian, yeah.
Yeah,
you know about that though, didn't you?
But yeah, I initially, when it first started, the first half an hour, I was just like, this is long. And I just thought, you know what, let me persist. And it was actually all right. I actually enjoyed it. There were some cheesy, corny bits, I'm not going to lie. There's some bits that just made me want to look away. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the bit where she was screaming. What, she dropped the
other her mouth, I don't like looking
too much. Mouth.
That was a lot. And the fake American accent and all sorts. But to be honest, I did really like the storyline. It was executed in some bits quite well. But yeah, and I do really love Shoma Kelly. She makes, she's just naturally, what do I even say? She's just naturally good at what she does, if that makes sense, her characters. And in 93 Days, she was really good. It's the same kind of acting, if that makes sense. But I just really like her. But yeah, I thought it was all right. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I liked it.
So I enjoyed it.
Go on, Polina.
No, you go, because...
Okay.
You go, my friend. Okay. Please.
I enjoyed it. Similar to Sharifa, the first half an hour, I thought, ugh, really? But as you persevere, it grips you. The storyline grips you. I find that the Nollywood scene, in terms of production, filming, everything, it's getting better. They're executing films much better. The storylines are still a bit cheesy. We've seen these storylines so many times before. Riches to rags, rags to riches, sisters fall out, whatever, brothers fall out, whatever. So the storyline wasn't necessarily an original storyline for me. However, just the filming, the production, the cinematography, it was good. I really, you know, it kept me entertained. It was 2 hours and 17 minutes long. I'm not sure why it needs to be that long.
It's Nollywood.
I know.
They don't have to do short films.
And yeah, it was nice. It was really I don't know, the theme, funnily enough, although we didn't choose this movie because of what happened in Lovecraft Country, but it still was about finding yourself and finding what you're good at outside of what you already know, if that makes any sense. For example, Lara just thought she wanted to concentrate on her music career, but she just thought that money would get her to wherever she needs to go, without realizing that, you know, you need to be nice to people, you need to put in the work, you don't necessarily need to have all these flashy things in order to be somebody or know someone. And also with her sister, again, you know, you've got to be yourself. You can't try and be this executive trying to sit on the board, do all the things that you think your parents are meant to do, when you actually, your talents lie elsewhere. And that kind of resonated with me with Lovecraft Country, with Hippolyta, and realizing that she's not just George's wife. So I love the fact that the themes sort of tie in with both this film and LCC. I was quite impressed. You know, it makes me feel like I could sit down and watch another Nollywood film at some point.
I did enjoy it, because normally I'm like, my mum's put me off Nollywood films, to be honest with you. So when you guys were saying let's watch Nollywood, I was like, oh god. But when I started watching it, I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was quite funny in parts. It was a predictable kind of a story, but I did enjoy it. It's lighthearted. Just the fact that it's 2 hours. If you've got 2 hours to spare, well, as he said, I can watch whilst I'm cooking. So that's what I was doing.
Yeah, it's not one that you need to concentrate on. If you skip a beat, you're not gonna miss anything from it. So cool. Anyway, that was Lara and the Beat, and now we go back to our resident show. They say this is a big rich town. Yeah, I just come from the poorest part. Why do you sound like you're singing after me? I don't like that, Felina. We need to sing together. No. You need to sing together, or don't you sing at all?
What? Well, then you got to sing at the right page.
Episode 4, The Prince, the Fresh Prince of Stanfield. Power.
I'm really trying to like Power. Guys. It's Ghost. It's not Power, it's Ghost.
It's really Power Book like 2, it. Hashtag Ghost.
Oh, is it?
It's Power Book 2, colon, Ghost. I don't know. Before we actually get into the episode, I like how different, and again, I'm looking at the women in everything that we've watched two programs where the women are finding themselves, and then we get to Power and the women are just lost. Each and every woman that featured in this episode was lost and had no self-worth and ain't got a clue, like you said, Paulina. They ain't got a clue, and I just didn't get it. Like, would this actually happen in reality? And hands up, it might do, but I was just not feeling the women in this episode. Anyway, for me, I'll go first because I'm still talking. For me, as always, it was a good episode. I just like Power Book 2, Ghost. I'm sorry. I'm a fan. I'm a stan. I like everything about it. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the thought behind Tariq's business venture. You know, he's coming up with a new inventive way of selling drugs. He's not trying to be on the streets like his dad. He's not trying to hustle like his dad, like that traditionally hustle. He is hustling, but he's not traditionally hustling. However, there are traits of Ghost in him, clearly, because he's his son. For example, he used his friend in order for the good of the business. He had to use his friend to get the other guy to get the competition out, and that could have been dangerous if the friend was weak and couldn't fight. That could have ended up in a bad situation for the friend. Obviously, we know that the friend's untouchable because he's a Wharton, and you can't really do anything to those rich kids. So that's another reason why he probably used his friend. But you didn't even go and try help your friend. It was like, you know what, I'm going to cause this fight. I need to eliminate the competition. Very, very clever. But you used your friend as...
Because didn't Ghost do that all the time with Tommy?
That's what I'm saying. He didn't like his dad. he didn't like his dad. I'm just going to end this point, Sharifa. He didn't like his dad for everything his dad stood for, but he's doing exactly the same thing that his dad
did.
He's got two women on the go. He's using his dad used Tommy. He's using his friend.
Manipulative.
It's just everything. Like, what the heck?
You are a product of your environment, though. You always say you're not going to end up like your parents, and then you most likely end up like your parents. So in this case, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And he's not aware of it just yet, and he will be. And that's where he's going to hit him, what he's actually done to him, done to his family, because this never needed to happen. Tash would not be in prison. His dad wouldn't be dead. He could just do what he needs to do, and then they can be like building the empire together, but he done messed it up. So I don't know. For me, I'm getting tired of this kind of show narrative. I just can't do it anymore.
What do you mean?
Just the whole drug gang.
What's the show about drugs, man?
I know, but as much as I watch it, for me, it was just power. I'm still trying to get into this Ghost Part 2 for me. I'm not there yet.
But it's a continuation.
To a point. I miss my mates, Tommy and them Ghosts. But you know,
you just want sexy bodies on screen. That's all.
No. This, don't you think this episode had so many sex scenes? It's like, come on, every other
scene. That's power. I'm glad. I want to see. Actually, let me not even say that. I was gonna say I want to see Tariq's sex scenes.
No, I don't need to see him kiss. Even when he was kissing, I felt uncomfortable. I've seen him grow.
Really?
So I'm like, no, that's like, nah, not into it.
I was like, get in there.
I feel like it's too. I feel like he's not as mature. He's not there yet for me to be watching it like that.
He's
a big boy in the show, right?
Yeah,
in the show,
in life. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so for me, that's too young to be watching your lips and girls. No,
really?
I just don't know. I'm not there yet, but it's good. But again, Mona J. Blige, what's her actual name in the show?
Monet.
She needs to. I'm tired of her as well. I'm tired of the show, to be honest with you. Who knew her son was gay before?
I knew something was up with him because they focused on him too much in the sense of
he's too strong.
Dre needs to be the one to take over the company. Dre needs to do this. Dre's not built for this. Dre's
not forcing it.
There's something up with him.
He's the first son, in it. So that's why it goes to him, in it. And obviously the dad and the mom probably sense that there's something different about him.
Who predicted that Sax would use his niece to do
that was obvious. I thought so, because the minute the guy said, "Oh, you're going across the board," and then she came in, he knew that he couldn't get anywhere close to Tariq because they already had the position. And they said, "Oh, you need to stay away from Tariq and all the rest of it." So the niece spontaneously comes around, and then of course she's gonna say, "I'll do anything. Don't tell mom, whatever."
Who predicted that the lawyers are sleeping together?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? You could tell because the way she's quite like authoritative over him. Yeah, that's the word, but I can't say
authoritative.
Yeah, over him. Like she's always like, oh, but insurance. Like she's always trying to like put her two point. I got those vibes. I just had a feeling.
Go on, Sharifa. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I think it's moving in the right direction. There's not much they can do with it, to be honest. Mm. So I wasn't expecting anything different. But with Tariq and I think I was, you know, the fight scene you guys were talking about. If you think about it, if he got involved, he would have been the black aggressor and it wouldn't have gone the way he wanted. And the whole point was to get that guy suspended because of who he's fighting, if that makes sense. Yeah. So if he had gotten involved, it wouldn't have gone that way.
They
probably wouldn't have suspended him. That's the whole reason why he did that, which, again, as you guys said, is definitely his dad's flex. But I feel like that Sax's niece is going to mess up everything.
And she's going to be like...
And fake
a
Tommy
ginger
well.
Woman.
Yeah, she will be. And I think she's going to actually like that fake Tommy.
Rough and ready...
Again, his name, but I feel like she's gonna actually like him.
But
and
why
she's
do you
going
think
to let it out that her uncle, who's sent her a police officer, district
when she's high,
yeah, I feel when like she's high, let it spill, yeah. And he's going to tell Tarek, but he's gonna end up probably spilling a lot to her already.
Do you think she's gonna die? Not if she'll die. I think something will happen.
The thing is, if you think about it, in this episode, there's no one overly dangerous except for Kane. That's really it. Like, I'm not fearful when I watch this, if that makes sense. Whereas with Ghost,
power,
always,
stressed.
I mean, with Power, I was always stressed that someone's gonna die. Like, if it wasn't Kane or what's his name, Dre, or this, there was always that fear there. Whereas with this,
anyone, yeah.
From the time they ended it with Tate wearing a hoodie and going to kill someone, and Sax wearing a hoodie going to kill someone, I was like, yeah, there's no
Can
fear
I ask a quick
in there.
Question? Why do you think they are trying to like replicate the whole Tommy and Ghost thing with Tariq, and then
they never told the story before,
so this is it,
but this is kind of it, right? And they're just trying to say that apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, but I think this is it in the modern sense, you know. School, use all your resources, you don't have to be on the street corners, you can be a bit more innovative in terms of how you do it, and it's a bloody clever idea.
But that'll be downfall, because wherever there's as much as they say there's no trail, him starting to wire money over to the lawyers is going to be the downfall.
Stern's husband, right? So
he's gonna hide it.
Yeah.
That boy in the office with the black hair is Stern's husband.
Yes.
He looks so young.
Okay.
Oh, I thought they were like college friends. I didn't know that's his husband.
No, he said my husband. And then there was a picture. What were you cooking this week, Paulina?
I'm always half watching. So I was actually cooking. That's actually funny.
But you were cooking.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry. I can't relax on what I'm telling you anymore. I just can't.
That is Mr. Stern's husband. Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And that makes sense. So then he's now wiring the money for them.
The husband is wiring it for the lawyer, paying Tariq's side.
Not to make it look legit.
It was supposed to be by cash, but the lawyer.
Yeah, but the lawyer told her to make it look legit. Yeah. So you can't do cash. It looks weird.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's why.
I'm looking forward to next week. Let's hope Mary Jane Blige's accent improves.
What did you guys think about the family dinner?
The dinner, it was just it was a shit show. Like, who actually behaves like that?
They do.
You'll be surprised. There are some
teachers.
Like
the two teachers going dinner, and you're practically talking about yourselves. And I'm not trying to be funny, eh? You're a big woman. I understand. For me personally, like, I can't be chiefing up some little girl, or trying to act like. Like, oh yeah, you're some little girl because your ex-man was you don't even know whether he slept with her. That's what I'm saying. But you can't be she's a little girl at the end of
the
day.
Feel like that, especially if they've got sex addict problems. She's gonna feel away. That's why she felt she needed to have sex with him in her house.
Exactly. Sex addiction is
power.
It's a
control.
It's an addiction. When you're addicted to something, you don't think straight.
I'm addicted to you. Do you remember that song?
You're very musical today, Teresa.
I know, and I can't sing. Yeah, sorry. And she called me. Why did you have to bait out my name? That was me. That was me.
Well, I was talking. Was so was Teresa.
Sorry, no, Sharifa. We got away with ourselves. Go on. Sex addiction is an addiction.
No, but who? Like you said, who is?
Is your name Sharifa?
No, all right, Paulina. Take it away. Get into it.
I'm sick of this.
There's something in the air today, guys. I'm so sorry. Go on, Paulina.
Like you said, no, I thought about it. Like, who is acting like that in front of someone else's parents?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what made it so far-fetched a little bit. And then the way, like, I found that whole scene too theatrical, too drama school in terms of the acting, because it's not realistic.
You need to make an impression with the...
Even when the boyfriend came and he was like, oh, are you Darren? No, that's just not
Jamal.
Real life. Jamal, Peter, whatever, but no, not into it. That's probably why I'm not into it as well, as much as I am with Power.
I was just saying the black family, that doesn't seem that abnormal to me. The overly posh... No, it doesn't. It's just there are some families like that that are overcompensating for who they are.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So that but was the interaction at dinner was.
Oh, you mean the teachers?
Teachers, yeah.
That, again, sex addiction. They're both high on emotions sex. And wanted to have tear their clothes off, which you saw at the end anyway.
Which was just so dumb. Again, like,
don't touch me.
I've been trying to figure out where I knew her from. She's in This Is Us. And you've got, you still haven't seen it. Oh, guys.
Sorry.
You better get into it.
My thing is, if you have a sex addiction, and I clearly need to do some research on this, and you know that you can get sex from the person that you want to have sex with at any point in time, why are you mad that he's sleeping with somebody else? Unless your part of your addiction is that you don't want him to sleep with anyone else bar you or her, depending on whether you're male or female. Because
it doesn't mean because you have a sex addiction, you don't have emotions. She's still in love with him. It's not just about the sex addiction. She's in love with him. So obviously there's still going to be that jealousy side if he's sleeping with someone else. When she knows they both have a sex.
She has
addiction.
Feelings for him as well, though. It's not
that's
just
what I'm saying. That's why I said it's emotions and addiction.
And he has feelings for her? Clearly.
Yeah, he has. He was bitter for toxic, the first episode when he wasn't trying to work.
It's a toxic relationship.
Yeah, very much so.
Can we talk about Tariq's love life with Diana and I've forgotten her name. The beautiful, what is it? I want to say her name is Rachel, but it's not Rachel.
You want to say who?
Can we talk about Tariq's love life? I was talking about
between. He doesn't like Diana.
Do you
she's
think?
Convenient. She's just a convenient way to get into her family. He likes Rachel. Is it Rachel?
I don't know. We're gonna find out. Her name's Lauren.
Lauren?
Her name's Lauren.
Yeah, I think he likes her more. I don't think he likes the Mary J. Blige.
Diana.
Diana, that's it. I don't think he really likes her that much. I think he's cool with her, but I don't think he fancies her.
He doesn't like her. No, he doesn't. Just a way to get in, because he was flirting with her at the house, and he knew that was one way of...
One of them, something's going to happen to one of them. It's going to be collateral damage for one of them. I think someone's gonna either be set up. Like, I kind of feel that Lauren's life is gonna be ruined somehow by getting involved with Tariq. She's gonna find out something that she's not meant to have found out, and something's gonna happen, or she's gonna get.
So is she like Angela then?
No, she's not. She's not like an Angela. I think something's gonna happen to Tariq, and then they're gonna see Tariq with her, thinking that that's her girl. That's his girl, sorry. And she's probably going to get kidnapped, or she's going to get beaten up or something. And then I think if it's not that, then I think that something's going to happen to, what's her name, Diana, in the sense, in exactly the same vein that, you know, someone's going to, she'll get arrested because she's hanging out with Tariq and all the rest of it. So, I don't know. But there's two women in his life at the same time where I just kind of feel like it literally needs to just be the one and something's going to happen. It's too, like you said previously, Paulina, it's too light in the sense of it's too high school-y right now. Yeah. And hence why they introduced the sex scenes. I know it's episode 4, but I guess they introduced the sex scenes because they wanted to get the original sort of power essence back in flow, but at the same time there needs to be the guns. That's why Tariq's got a gun. That's where there's, you know, they need to introduce some a little bit more violence. There hasn't been any major violence or anything like that so far, so that's gonna come. Oh yeah, apart from the fact that, what's his name, Kane beat up the guy, La Buddha. I get it. That was what's her name? Mary J. Blige's Spanish. But yeah, I don't know.
It's predictable. We kind of know where it's going, but it's going to be good. I hope it's going to be good. And then I hope the next one's coming. That's my take.
All right, guys, let us know what you think about Power and how you feel the story is going to go thus far. Yeah, guys, that's the end of our little segment on our shows. So what's been happening this week, guys? And Black History Month starts tomorrow. And in honor of Black History Month, the Royal Mail announced that it was going to paint 4 post boxes in honor of Black History Month. Now, some of you might think, oh, that's nice of the Royal Mail. They're going to paint 4 post boxes for us, Black people. But they've got 115,000 post boxes around the UK, and they're trying to paint 4. Not that for me personally, painting a post box or a letter box black to try and show some solidarity towards Black History Month or whatever, I kind of think it's kind of lame. I think they need to do more as an organization rather than just go out and paint. But it's
also painting it black anyway.
But it's a slap in the face when you've got 115,000.
But why are you painting it black?
Decided to paint 4.
Like, why black?
Just don't do anything.
Because it's Black History Month.
Yeah, but that's not relevant to anything.
No, but they're trying. That's what I'm saying. They're trying to show solidarity, but. It's just not working out. It's just dumb. You know what that is? That is a 0.00%.
There was no need. They should have just not done anything. They could have just put something on the website and be done with it.
Or like a different Black Lives Matter stamp or something. I don't know.
But they wouldn't do Black Lives Matter. They wouldn't do that.
You know, because the Queen. I get it. But I'm just saying, like, what does that signify?
Or they could change the stamps for the month into
something.
Into a black icon or something.
Paint 4 black postbooks that no one's going to see. And you're doing it like Merseyside and places where there's not that many black people anyway. What's the purpose?
I think there's plenty of black people.
It's such a slap in the face. I'm just like... slap in the face.
I'd rather them just not do anything than do this because it just makes it awkward. And I bet this is a person...
A good idea though. What they should have done is for the month, they should have issued out stamps of iconic black people or black
That's what
people
I said.
That have done
Thank
it.
You.
Oh, sorry.
No, I
sorry.
Said that, love.
Oh, I said stamps first, honey. But it's okay.
Okay, you can have that one.
great minds think alike. Both of you Thank with you. The stamp
I was saying
idea.
They won't do that. They won't do that. They could have just changed.
Queen.
They could have just made.
No, but they have iconic people on stamps all the time. They have limited edition stamps. I've had stamps where they've had paintings on it because it honoring somebody. So stamps, the Queen being on the stamp is not a hard or fast rule. It's not like changing money, basically. You can change a bloody stamp for a month.
But I feel like in this case, to do that is a bit like, come on, there was how many complaints for BGT? That would be like this. That would be like top icing on the cake. If that was
so in order, makes sense now. So in order not to have complaints, let's just paint 4. Oh please, paint them
let's
back.
Let's do something. Rather. But this is what I was trying to say. I feel like this is someone on like the diversity team who wasn't black was like, I don't know what we can do. This is a really good idea, but it's not at all. Like for example, the lady that does my eyebrows, for example, her son was secluded and was isolated because he had a skin fade haircut. Mm-hmm. So she and the board of the school for the diversity person team was white. So she complained to the school, took her son out, and said, "This isn't right. This is an appropriate hairstyle for a black child, but you guys don't know that." So then they've asked her now to be on the board and be like the director of that for the black people because they had no representatives. It's that kind of like
with that example that you just said, rather than taking the hard and fast rule. Why don't you go out and do your research first? Because you just brought some sort of trauma to the little boy.
This is what I'm saying.
They do the research.
The head of the person
sometimes
was a white person. They don't have no idea. They've got no clue. It's their research.
That's what I'm saying. They need to do their research. If you've got no clue, someone tells you that you've got to bake a cake, you can't just be like, here. You've got to do your research and bake the cake, right? Rather than that was just a lame excuse to what we're talking, lame example, sorry, to what we're talking about. But in life, you didn't get through to be a teacher or a governor because you're not educated. You are educated. You penalize that boy on purpose because he was black, regardless of his haircut, because white people have random haircuts all the time. It's just that because it's they're not alien to you because they're the same color, they hold the same skin color, it's fine. But if something's alien to you, rather than automatically cast it out, you should be doing your research.
It's crazy, but they don't care enough to actually want to do that. They do the bare minimum, which is paint a full black post box as something. But I don't know.
I think that whoever was responsible for this PR thing should have, again, done their research. They could have done market research. You know, Black History Month comes around every October, every year. You want to do something to support it. Why don't they just do market research? What would you think if we did this? How would you think? What other ideas could we bring to the table? You know, and even if painting them black was the majority consensus, why four?
Because they're not trying to offend everyone. So four, the less is more.
But you're offending the black people that you're trying to not offend.
Yeah, but they don't really care. This is the whole point. They don't really care about us. They do what they're doing to save face. That's it. End of story. We've done our bit. Move on. That's basically it. As soon as October's over, they'll be back to red. So it's not even worth the debate.
Now, they'll be so true that those post boxes would be so obtrusive that they would have to take them down. That's what's going to happen.
Or they'll be so offensive. They'll be like, white lives matter too. Someone was somewhere.
Yeah, why are these black post boxes here? Take them down. Don't paint them over. Don't paint over them red. Just take them down.
Literally. Offend a lot of Karen somewhere.
In other news also, the government had announced the other day that they were going to offer adults with out A-levels or equivalent qualifications, they're going to offer them fully funded college courses. Chale. But yet, I have to now go and pay £9,000. Per year for my child to go to university. I don't get it. And they're doing this because of COVID. They're also doing this because unemployment is going to be quite high, especially because, you know, businesses have some businesses have failed to start up given the pandemic. Some businesses have failed to reopen after they've closed, and so a lot of people are left without jobs, and obviously people have been made redundant and so forth. So they want to do something to help those adults that are potentially out of work, that don't have qualifications, and those adults that have never worked before. But we get the money to do that. There are millions of adults without qualifications, those type of qualifications. But
and you're gonna high paying jobs.
Yeah. Not that they're in high paying jobs. I guess they're doing it because they've been made redundant or they don't have a job. But then you've got students that you want to go to university. And they have to pay their fees and put them in debt. So, like, where's this money coming from? If you've got surplus money to offer free education, why can't you make university free?
It used to be, didn't it?
It's obviously an emergency fund somewhere coming to do this, because if you think about it, the economy works by people working as well, isn't it? So those students are not directly working now. They're not paying taxes now. They get into debt that they're going to pay student loan, if that makes sense, is going to go back into the economy anyway. Whereas adults that are not working and are not in university are not going to help the economy whatsoever. So I can see why they've decided to do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but why? I get it, but you need to help the economy, but you're not, the money that you're using to fund these courses is not helping the economy, it's just helping people get qualifications that by the time it's over, they're not may not necessarily get a job.
No, I get that, but what I'm saying is trying to make sense of what they're thinking could be like, is the fact that these people come out of qualifications, they possibly may get a job and still help the economy, whereas with the students, you being in debt is kind of helping the economy, because when you get a job, you're going to be paying for that anyway. Whereas if you think about it, the adults that are doing their courses, yes, they're going to be working. But again, as an adult, you're buying houses. You have a family. There's more responsibility for these people. That's why they can't do it. They can't do it. Not funded. If that makes sense.
No, but the government are giving it to them for free.
That's what I'm saying. They cannot do it as non-funded courses for these adults. It has to be free, because as I said, as an adult, as a young, I keep saying adult because some of these students are adults anyway. But you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of them have responsibilities. They have families. They're trying to pay mortgages. They're trying to buy houses. So for them, it has to be free. Whereas for a student, most times a student, students are still relying on those parents.
On their parents. Okay.
So in a way, those students cannot make any. Cannot at the moment. A lot of them will not be able to help the economy. Whereas an adult most likely will help much more than a student. So they have to offer them something. So I don't know where the money's coming from. It's probably coming from my student loan I paid for this this month. But at least it's going to something useful.
Oh my gosh, you guys are still paying student loan.
Well, I'm still a student, darling.
Oh, one day you'll be like me.
Remember your fees were different from mine.
I know, but they
paying out your age.
Yeah, it's true, but they were still high for my era, should I say.
When I see some of the student loan from people that are older than me and I see the amount, I'm like, bloody hell.
This is nothing. You think it's nothing to mine. Compared, yeah. But what I was gonna say
it was much more.
I'm doing nursing. I could have got this for free a few years ago if I just did it sooner. Now I'm going to be in debt.
You're doing it in your time. God's time is the right time. With that, we were talking about student loan, and as usual, we digress. The next thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if you guys watched it, I watched some of it this afternoon, is the all-starring political shambles that was the
hot mess.
First round of the presidential debate between the current president, Mr. Donald Trump, and the former vice president, Mr. Joe Biden.
I just feel like they're too old to be doing this
shut
back
up,
and forth
man.
Arguing.
Oh, shut up, man.
Literally, go and retire. Give it a rest. I'm just sick of it.
So the presidential debates, if are similar to the debates that the UK started doing between the prime ministers, where there are a series of topics that have questions, and the presidents or the running, what are they called? Not running mates, the president and the person, his opposition, have an opportunity to answer those, obviously put them in a better position. The people get to see who they are. That's American people, by the way, and gives them, I would say, the first round of thoughts and opinions as to who they may potentially vote for if they haven't voted already. And Donald Trump was just, he was a playground bully. He didn't listen to the moderator. The moderator kept on saying, Mr. Trump, Mr. President, please let me finish. He was speaking over everybody, him, the moderator, Biden. You know, I mean, he was funny. He was like, did you just say smart? Don't ever use the word smart with me. You didn't graduate from high school.
He's an overprivileged, uncultured... I don't even know something. What to say. He's just something. He's come on. What do you expect? You gave him the title president. He was already whatever he is. I'm not gonna say names now before I don't know where this is gonna end up before I get into a Twitter war with Mr. President, since he loves Twitter. But I just feel like they gave him the title. What did they expect? He feels too big for his boots. Like he feels
nothing.
He feels like nothing can trump him, practically. Trump. I just can't stand him, and I just don't want anything to do with him. I don't know if this is going to be heard. I just don't care. All I care about is the meme going around. The meme going around of his tracks showing. That's
really...
He needs to find a new hairdresser. That's all I know. I just don't
care. Off and call it a day.
My fear is that a lot of American people will be watching this, because it's hard to choose between Trump and Joe Biden, because they don't have, neither of them, for me personally, have that charisma that is needed to evoke real change in American politics. If Joe Biden wins, great. The Democrats are in, well, they're not really in power because Senate will still be fully run by the Republicans. But maybe they might be able to enforce some sort of change. However, I just feel that, you know, Trump being on that stage has allowed people, aka Trump supporters, to see him and have fire in their belly. They ask him a simple question, like, what do you think about white supremacy? What do you think about the racial tensions that are going on in America? And he did not have a clear answer. What would you call them then? They're not white supremacists. We need to tackle crime. We need to do this. He didn't answer the question. Even the moderator were like saying,
he never does.
He doesn't care. He doesn't
They're white supremacists.
He's never answered.
He's one
question.
Of them. He's
and this is exactly, but this is my fear, because white supremacists are watching that thinking, this is the leader of the free world. This is the leader of America. And they will, my fear is that they will have more fire in their belly to go out and do stupid things like they did to, what's the guy that was jogging? I've forgotten his name.
Ahmaud Arbery.
You know, you're going to get vigilantes or people that just think, oh, well, President Trump doesn't think that I'm a white supremacist because I'm out here doing what I need to do. So yes, I'm now going to shoot somebody. I'm now going to stab someone. And they're going to think that they've got the brain of the president.
I think, and it's more that he's going to get a lot of votes because there's the All Lives Matter people trying to make their stand, and I feel like they are going to come out in their full force and vote. This is why you have a lot of celebrities, a lot of people that are for the whole Black Lives Matter movement out there making their ads, making their stand on social media to say that everyone needs to try and vote. Everyone needs to try and vote. But I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to happen, and I hope he is not going to be another president for another 4 years.
I feel like
if I worked in the White House or was so much into American politics, I will feel it in my gut to just think that I'll walk past his picture in the Hall of Presidents. He is not fit to be there. And I bet all I want to know is he going to have a hair appointment to fix his tracks be on that picture? I don't know if he's going to hear this, but President Trump, I am not for you. That's what I have to say.
No, yes, he didn't have a time to hear
it. That's the view of Sharifa from the
Geek Ladies.
I'm glad you put that caveat in there.
Yep,
you know, he kept on talking about, you know, oh, this is fake news. This is fake news.
Oh, please.
One thing, love it or hate him, he did hold him. He did hold his own. And I did wish, because I watched, like I said, I watched it, that Biden was able to at least hold his own. Like, Biden crumbled a little bit. Oh, shut up. You know, oh, you're a clown.
Actually, based off of this debate, Biden actually had a higher percentage over Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So even though that could have looked like that.
It looked like the little nerdy boy finally
standing
up to his bully. So
yeah,
it could be a good thing.
But you know, next round.
Shut up, man.
I kind of feel the next round will be a reverse. That
sounds
because
like my little
Freya
holds him, man.
Trump is going to watch this. His PR team are going to watch this. His PR team are going to say, you know, you've got to
Donald
let
Trump
them
is a
finish.
Lieutenant.
You shouldn't let them
he
stop interrupting
freely.
all the rest of it. And then Biden's going to come out being this hard guy. And I think it's just going to be like, they haven't got the balance of how to do these presidential debates really well. And I think they'll both, I think Biden more especially was out of his comfort zone a lot more than Trump was, because Trump's just used to just spewing verbal rubbish all the time. And now that Biden's seen how he acts, Biden's now, his team's going to tell him to come harder. Trump's team's going to tell him to soften up. So when it comes down to debate round two, you're going to see, I believe we're going to see the reverse. But yeah, it's a sad time. I mean, it's a sad time for the world, considering that we're in a pandemic. It's a sad time that America is never going to be this country that we once loved and adored, because they're going to have these issues with presidents that can't admit that their country is in a state due to racism and other issues. But yeah, we'll see. I'm actually looking forward to watching round two. Again, I'm turning to my parents.
All right, guys, so that's it for what's happening, and that's it for episode 18, isn't it? gosh, two more. Yeah. All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode and we will see you on our next episode. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.